morning. It is a good morning, amen? Because of many, many reasons, it's a good morning. The sun is out. It's Father's Day. The All Blacks won last night, finally. Amen? It's a good morning. And I'm glad you're here to celebrate with us Father's Day. Father's Day is a special day. We honor our dads. We all have dads, some here with us, some in different areas, some passed on, but we've all had dads, and for that, we are thankful to the Lord. He's the one that established the family unit. He's the one that gave us fathers, and we honor them, and in so doing, we honor our Lord and the Creator. Ushers, would you go ahead and begin to make your way forward? If you have not yet, but you would like to make a Faith Promise Missions pledge, we took them up last week, but if you weren't able to do that, but you want to, just quietly slip your hands up and we'll have someone come and give you a card. You can fill that out and put that in the offering to be included in our Faith Promise pledge. Our target's been $111,000 this year for Faith Promise. And we're off from that target for our pledges, but we know that some still haven't given, and some perhaps online with us. If you'd like to give and you're at home, you're listening to our streaming, you can go to ibcchurch.com and just send us a contact there. And let us know what your Faith Promise pledge would be this year as well. We'll add you to our list. We want to remember all of our missionary family. And this week, we want to remember, Amy and Erwin Santoso. They are a project of IBC. We've supported them since 2012 as a church plant mission here in Auckland City, of course, IBC Central. And so continue to pray for the church, pray for their growth, pray for more to come to Christ and be discipled, and also continue to pray for like more of a permanent lease that they are looking at that's close to their current offices. Pray that this may work out. It'd be a wonderful thing for them. It's a good possibility. Just pray that God's will be done in leading them into this new potential building lease. Let's give thanks to the Lord for the past week's offering, $10,653.70. And missions, praise the Lord, was $2,347.10. And so we're very thankful to the Lord for His provision. And let us give thanks to the Lord for this week's offering, shall we? Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you for Jesus Christ, that He, Lord, has made all of this possible, that we have a relationship with you, our Creator, through His sacrifice. We worship you. We worship you in spirit and in truth. We want to lift up our missionary family. We think of the Santosos, their faithfulness in establishing the work that you put on their hearts. We pray your blessings upon them, on the work, that you would open up doors of opportunity, that you may open up the door of facility lease that they are looking at. That, Lord, if it be your good will, you would make that happen. And we give you the glory for it. Thank you. We commit this offering to you and ask you to bless it and use it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And while their ushers are taking up the offering, we got a small Father's Day presentation. We've asked a number of people to write some Father's Day poems. And so we have a selection of some of the readings that we would like to present. And we know it'll be a blessing to all you dads, not just the ones that they're written to. So enjoy it. God bless.
Tis, tis. Good morning, church. Ah, Father's Day. I never thought I'd see the day where I too would feel this way as I navigate the waters of Perrington. I can't help but be thankful for your mentoring. All the times they made me smile, and all the times we faced many a trial, I always knew just who to call. Reliable dad, jokes and all. You have a tool for every problem and a gentle soul until you smacked my bottom. Looking back now, I am so grateful that you loved like Christ when I was hateful. I used to think your jokes weren't funny. Now I am so like you, very punny. I see myself becoming more like you each day. Interpret that how you wish, I say. If I stood next to you, we'd make the number 10. I'm the number 1, and you're the 1-2. I didn't think this verse through. Maybe we should change the number to 11. That way I won't go early to heaven. I'm so very glad to call you my dad. Walking in your shoes isn't half bad. You fear the Lord and never leave me a bore. I pray for many more years in store. I thank God for a father like you, for everything you are and all that you do. Love your son, the one who was never any trouble.
Strong. He said that my mama is never, never wrong. My dad is smart. My dad is kind. Thank you, Jesus, for making a mind.
My dad. The man who stands out from the crowd has never failed to make me proud. My dad is so strong, and his name is Ali Ong. My dad is so brave, and he is my fave. My dad is so kind, more love than I can find. Whenever I see a spider, he will come with superpower. He likes to play badminton, though his knees ache a million. Because laundry is his duty, weather is always his worry. Whatever the weather is today, have the greatest Father's Day. This is why I want to say, Happy Father's Day.
My dad is caring and sharing, but not too daring. My dad is rad, and he's never sad. My dad is superb, not awful or dreadful, nor nasty and nor terrible. In fact, he's unforgettable. He doesn't brag or boast, instead he's nice and loving. He loved me so much, even before I was born. Yeah, let's clap for my dad.
Hey, Dad. It's one of your brood. The second one down saying hi to you. Hope I didn't interrupt you doing something you've been trying to do. Just wanted to tell you, though it's been some time, I've been thinking of you, of moments sublime, chasing down the trails on our bikes together, so free. But time has moved on, leaving just memories of time spent together. Makes me so pleased. Now I'm taking some time with a pen and something to say. And that something is, I mean to say, you've won the race, and this is your day. I'm so proud that you're my dad. So this little poem is for you. Happy Father's Day. You've been to us so true. I'm many miles away, but one thing I can do is commit this day to hoping the best for you. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. God bless you.
Father poem, poem for father, you are half my DNA. Father poem, poem for father, you witnessed the birth of your amazing, wonderful, funny, cute, sweet little baby children. Father poem, poem for father, you are a gift from God, all kind and wrapped up with a bow of love. Father poem, poem for father, you are appreciated, very appreciated, the utmostly most appreciated father in the world. Father poem, poem for father, you are hashtag number one best father after God. Father poem, poem for father, you are my personal chauffeur. Father poem, poem for father, I recommend you get a new sense of humor. I mean that with no offense, but it is a well-needed wake-up call for you, my beloved father. Father poem, poem for father, a happy poem for the happiest father. Happy Father's Day.
A godly dad. From the moment of my birth, breathing on my own, you've been the only father that I have ever known. It's just the way it is, I would always say. Every child goes to church upon the Lord's Day. From time to time, I'd hear of how some fathers leave their wives and children dear for new realities. Incomprehensible to me, for I was always shown by my father's example, he made his godly commitments known. So thank you, Dad, for your time, for your wisdom, and for your love and care. But more than that, I thank you for the word of God you shared. You taught me that in this world where good and evil call, anything less than a man of God is really not a man at all.
我们都有一个好父亲，我们怎么也不能停止报答他们的爱。我们的父亲是我们的导师，他领我们上神的道，他们与我们交流，因为他们关心我们。我们怎样才能报答这份不断涌出的爱呢？我们在地上有一个父，我们在天上还有一个父神。 父神用无穷的爱来爱我们，他超越了我们的爱。他教训我们，他教导我们，他永远也不会抛弃我们。我们的父亲是多大的祝福啊！父亲节快乐！
Thank you, May, and thank you to all who participated in writing some lovely Father's Day poems. It was a blessing to hear from everybody's heart. Thank you so much. Let's give them all a hand. Good job. Thank you. Now, I'd like to ask one of our fathers, Brother Logan, come on up for our Father's Day reading this morning. Thank you, brother.
Good morning, IVC. Happy Father's Day. Our reading this morning is all about balance. In order for humans to gracefully move around on two legs, they must have a greater sense of balance than those creatures moving on four legs. When a dog or cat walks on all fours, the center of balance is within the four points of contact on the ground. Contrast this with the center of balance on two legs. This center of balance is between the 2 feet and represents a relatively smaller area. Humans achieve this balance primarily through inner ears. Our inner ears have three semicircular fluid-filled canals that are sensitive to movement and gravity. Fine hairs in the canals send out signals to indicate the direction and speed of head movements. The canals are arranged in three planes: horizontal, vertical anterior, and vertical posterior, and are at right angles to each other. This arrangement gives three-dimensional sensing for balance. The semicircular canals in humans and apes differ from each other. Humans have two large vertical planes and one small horizontal plane, while apes have three small canals of similar size. The three ape semicircular canals are of similar size, allowing apes to be successful at climbing trees. In contrast, humans are designed for walking upright and need balanced sensors specifically designed for walking upright. Thus, they have larger canals in the vertical planes. When the fossil record is examined, no transitional fossils of semicircular canals have ever been found. In conclusion, man was made to walk upright, and apes were made to walk on all fours. This is just one of a myriad of differences between the two, differences seldom shown to students. Ezekiel 2 verse 1 says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet." Thank you.
Thank you for that reading, Logan. Looking forward to today's message that I'd like to share with you. For fathers, yes, but as always, it's something that is applicable to everyone. It's called bringing out the best in our kids. Bringing out the best in our kids. I'm excited about it because not only is it, I believe, things that can help us better understand our role as parents and our responsibility to kids, but it also reminds us and shows us about how God sees us as His people, His children, and how He treats us and how He handles us. I'd like to ask Brother Noel to come for this week's Bible reading, though. So I'll turn it over to him at this time. Thank you, Brother Noel.
Good morning, church, and happy Father's Day. Today's scripture will be from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places of Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God, but not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God pre-prepared beforehand we should walk in them. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Noel. We do like to honor our dads here, and right after the service, of course, we want to have a time to ask God's blessing and guidance and leadership of all of our dads. But right now, I do want to speak. I want to share God's word with you and talk about parenting for just a few moments. Parenting isn't one of the easiest things to do. It takes a lot of courage. It takes determination. It takes guts. It takes love. It takes unselfishness. It is one of the most demanding jobs I think that we can ask of a person to do. We are literally raising another human being. The whole process begins with something that's called labor, doesn't it? Labor. And by the way, ladies, I want you to know that labor's hard on us guys too. Okay? It's hard. Amen, fellas? Okay, I'm not getting a lot of amens from the ladies, but I know you fellas understand. Our first child was born, Gretchen, and we're in the hospital, and Jen's in labor, and she's going through a lot of hardship. I'm going through a lot of hardships, and she was squeezing these plastic trays that were given to her for vomit, just in case. And every time she'd go through contractions, she would squeeze one of those with her hand so strong, and she would end up breaking one. And then she'd ask for another one, and after a while, I said, Jen, no, don't break any more. Just hold my hand. And she didn't like that suggestion, and so I kept having to give her these plastic trays to break. It's hard. It's hard going through labor, but that's the easy part of raising children. After labor, the work begins. And the problem is, once you really get experienced and you learn about it, then you become unemployed. Your kids have grown up. The job is done. So let's take a look at some principles. There are five things that we're going to actually take a look at. But it was too much to cover in one. And so this week we're going to look at a couple. And then next week we're going to conclude by looking at the other three. And so we're not going to do all five at once. We're going to spread it out just a little bit. But five principles to bring out the best in our kids. And it's about the kids, but these things really do apply to everyone. Why do we want to do this? Because we have a lot of families around us, not just here, but around us in our communities, that they're going through difficult times. It's difficult. They're in trouble as a family with the kids. There's immense pressure. They're overloaded with things. There's pressure inside the family. There's pressure outside the family. There's pressures that we didn't have 10 or 20 years ago. When I was a child growing up, we didn't have things like social media to worry about. Even as our kids were growing up, there was some funny transitions. And suddenly, you know, we had kids in middle school wanting cell phones. We never had that problem earlier than that. And so there's all these new pressures that parents are going through in trying to raise their kids, navigate the waters, and know how to do it best, bringing out the best in our kids. But all of us should and can have a part in helping instill these principles within kids' lives around us. Even if you don't have kids yourself, you need kids around you. You need to have kids around you, whether they be nieces or nephews or even kids within the church, friends. You need kids around you that you're able to invest in, that you're able to nurture. They teach us how not to be selfish. They allow us the ability to pass on faith into another generation. And without kids in your life, we become pretty boring and old. We need kids around us, don't we? We need kids. Let's take a look. The first principle that we're going to look at is, number one, accept their uniqueness completely. Accept their uniqueness completely. Write that down. God intentionally made each one of us very unique and different. Amen? Look around you. Look at the people next to you. They look kind of funny, don't they? Why? Because God made each of us a bit different and unique. He could have made us all exactly alike. This is man, this is woman. This is what a man and a woman look like. But he didn't do that. God loves diversity. And look around creation and all that God made. Isn't God creative? I appreciate Brother Logan's reading each week because he shows us through these readings the amazing creativity of our God, of our Creator God. God loves variety, and that's no different when it comes to people. Not just how we look, but what we're made like, what our personalities are like, what our intellect is like. We're all so uniquely diverse and different. Ephesians 2:10, as Brother Noel just read a short time ago, we are his, what's the word? Workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You're custom designed. God prepared you. God designed you. God made you for a unique work, a unique ministry, a unique purpose that he had designed for your life. You're a unique creation. That word workmanship, it literally means a masterpiece or a poem. In fact, the word that's used, the Greek word for workmanship, is poema. Poema. That sounds familiar to you? It should. That's where we get poem from. We heard a bunch of beautiful poems from some of the people in the church this morning. They were workmanships. They were custom made and written and specifically designed by people. That's what God has done with you. You are God's workmanship. You're his poema. You're his masterpiece. You were made on purpose and for a reason. We're all different, though. Each person is unique. Some people are good at one thing, and others are good at something else. Some people are work really good with numbers and figures, while other people are much more creative and artistic. Some people hate numbers, but they love to write things. When we ask people to do a poem for Father's Day, I'm sure some of you are like, oh, are you crazy? I never would write a poem. I hate writing poems. I never like to read poems. Other people, though, it just fit right in, and they're like, I can do something beautiful for my dad. Some people are good mechanically. Some people are good with working with their hands. Some people are good at sales and relationships and talking with people. They like to be with people. We're all unique. That's good. Isn't God amazing? That's why 1 Corinthians 12:6, it says, there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all, referring to the church of Jesus Christ and how each of us are unique. We all are gifted at different activities, but it's God who is working in all of us. That's what that verse is telling us. Some people might say something like, with multiple kids, how many of you have more than one child? How many of you had more than one kid? Amen. I feel your pain. I've been there. How many of you have more than two kids? Raise your hand. More than two. How many have more than three? Like four or more. Four or more. Four or more. There's a few of us. We need a support group, don't we? We need support. We need help. It's not easy. But I've heard some people say with multiple kids, those of you with one child, you don't understand this. But the rest of us understand this. You know, I treat all my kids exactly the same. And they say that as a virtue. I treat all my kids exactly the same. But we can't do that. That's not smart, is it? Because they're all so different. And we need to acknowledge their uniqueness. They all react differently. Me and Jen, with our four kids, they were all so completely different. We just couldn't deal with them the same. We couldn't talk to them exactly the same. We couldn't discipline the same. They wouldn't respond the same. They're all so very different and very unique. And to be a good parent, you have to treat kids differently because they're all so different. There are two main enemies of uniqueness. that we as parents have to deal with. Two main enemies. Write these down. The first enemy of this principle of the uniqueness of our kids is this thing called comparing. Comparing. There is pressure to compare everywhere. All around us is the pressure. It's worse today because of this tool that we have that we didn't have when I was a child called social media. Social media is one big comparison. We compare our academics. We compare athletics. We compare appearance. We compare economic status. And all these things are things that parents have always been in comparison with. But there's even greater challenges today with these new things, these new technologies. There's all kinds of differences of intelligence. There's something that a test done, just an IQ test. But the trouble with an IQ test is it doesn't always consider all different kinds of intelligence. Some people are great at academic intelligence. Other people are good at mechanical intelligence or athletic or musical or artistic or relational. And so we have all these uniquenesses that sometimes a test doesn't always detect or isn't always able to bring out and to reveal, to show it. But comparison is, it's an enemy of this uniqueness that we are trying to bring out in our kids. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. It says that we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves, are comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Paul is saying it's not wise. God made you unique and gifted you, and you're comparing yourself and what God has given to you with others and what God has given to them. It's not wise. In fact, it's foolish. It's stupid. You can compare many things. You can compare a tangerine with a submarine because they sound similar, don't they? But they're nothing alike, and that's foolish. It's foolishness. There's no comparison. Galatians 6:4, we're commended, we're urged here, let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. What has God given to you? What are you doing with what God has given to you? Are you faithful with your uniqueness, with your gifts, with your abilities? Are you using them to the best of your abilities for the service of the Lord in your life? In your family, in your ministries? Are you being faithful with what God has given to you? That uniqueness. This is something that we want, that we must teach our kids. They are unique. Be aware of this comparing. And the second enemy of uniqueness is conforming. Conforming. Another word for conforming is something that we might call people-pleasing. People-pleasing. Have you heard of people-pleasers? You know what a people-pleaser is? Trying to live up to the standards of everyone else around you, trying to please every person around you. That's a losing proposition. You're more worried about what people think than what God thinks. Don't be a people-pleaser. Be a God-pleaser. You see someone on TV, you think to yourself, man, I want to be more like him. I want to be more like that. Proverbs 29, verse 25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Don't fear man. Don't compare yourself with man. Don't conform to them and to what they may expect. You don't need other people's approval to be happy. You don't need someone else's approval to be happy. Some people think that that is their goal, that's their only desire. And I've known people who spend a long time or all their lives trying to win the approval of someone important in their life. Maybe it's a parent. And they never feel they have their parents' approval. And so they spend the rest of their life trying to get this approval that never comes. May I suggest your focus needs to be on God, on His approval. Does God approve of you? Does God accept you? If we can teach our kids to stop comparing, stop conforming, then we'll be ahead. A familiar passage, Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible tells us not to be conformed to this world. The things of this world, the things that this world thinks are important, to conform ourselves to what the world says really matters. Your status, your looks, the possessions that you may have, these are the things that the world says, this is what's important. God says, no, don't conform yourself to the pattern of this world. You conform yourself to me and my word and what I have said, what I have done, what I have given to you. This is what you need to think on. This is what you need to transform your thinking towards. Let God transform you by inwardly changing how you think. This is why our church slogan is transforming lives. Our church, what we do is never to be about just following some religious rituals and you just do these steps and you will be okay. You will be a good person. No, the scripture talks about how God, through the gospel, how God transforms a person's life, but he begins from the inside and he does a work on a person's heart and he changes us from the inside. And that begins a process. And it transforms us and how we think. And so scripture tells us, don't be conformed to the world any longer. You were before. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Put your thoughts and your focus on the word of God, what he has given to us. You don't want to be like everybody else. You be how God made you to be. What has God given to you? How has God made you? Your uniqueness. Parents often tell their kids, don't give in to peer pressure. Be careful of peer pressure. But you know what? Sometimes parents give in to their own peer pressure. And they want their kids to conform to everyone else's standards around them too. Why can't you be more like him? Why can't you be more like so-and-so's kids? And we try to conform them into these patterns that we see, that we want them to be. We need to accept our kids completely, their uniqueness. How do you know if you've done that? One test, a simple test, is that you don't insist that they be just like you. It's not always easy, but you don't insist that they just be like you. As a dad, if I like a certain sport, and we want them to also like that sport and be good at that sport, and we insist that they do the same thing. If we're good at math, we expect them to be good at math. If we're good at biology and sciences, we expect them to not only be good at it, but to love it and to want to do it. And so we have also a similar kind of peer pressure that we apply to them if we're not careful. I want to say this gently, but the world does not need any more of you. God made you uniquely. He made you to be who you are and who he wanted you to be. And then he made your kids. And they're also unique, and he made them a special way. One is enough. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, talking about love, it does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. Love does not seek its own, but it seeks what is the best for another. Kids often may feel that they have to be what their parents had want them to be. And then from there, they go on, they get married, they want to be what their spouse wants them to be, what their boss wants them to be. And the list goes on. But the starting point is accepting your uniqueness and being what God made you to be, that person that God made you to be. So, question to dads, fathers this morning, can you think of a time in your life when you were accepted completely? And then secondly, how do you do this with your own kids? How do you give them this understanding and this feeling in their life that they also are accepted for who they are, their uniqueness, their special unique giftings, the things that they are good at, the things that they love, the unique characteristics and personality and their passions? How do you let them know that not only are they created uniquely, but that you like how God has created them? You know, when I was growing up, you know what my dad was? My dad's occupation? My dad was a pastor. My dad was a pastor. Most of my life, all of my life that I remember, my dad was in the ministry. He came as a missionary. He had done pastoral work. But you know, there was not a single time when he looked at me as I was growing up, says, "Ken, when you grow up, you need to be a pastor." You know, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He wanted me to be what God wanted for me. He wanted me to be what God had gifted me at. He wanted God's work and God's will and direction and leadership in my life. Oh, yeah, he was happy and thrilled when God called me to ministry. He was joyful. But more than that, more than what he wanted God's will in my life. And I appreciated him, and I felt that acceptance from my dad. So the first tip is loving and accepting their uniqueness. But then, number two, the next one, I must affirm their value constantly. Affirm their value. They are valuable. They're valuable to God. They're valuable to you. And you need to affirm that in their minds. It's not just enough to accept them, but affirm them, love them, enjoy them. Everyone has a deep hunger to be believed in, a deep hunger to be valued. When they're out in the world, go out in school, out with others, out with peers, often things are being piled upon them. Is it good stuff or is it bad stuff and negativity and being knocked down and being hit, not necessarily physically, but being hit emotionally? Often it can be negative. Often it can be bad. And when you get more negative constantly all the time than positive, then we can go into something that we call depression. Depression. It gets discouraging. You begin to not feel good about yourself, that you have nothing good to offer. And there's a lot of that today. There's a lot of depression today. People who have gone through a long time of being hit negatively. Dads, we need to be mindful to affirm our children's value constantly. And church, we need to be mindful to affirm other people's value constantly as well. The people around us affirm their value. Jesus said in Matthew 10:29, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? They're cheap. And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Jesus wanted us to know how valuable we are to God. He wanted us to be affirmed of that value that we have before God. And he used these examples. He used these examples of the sparrow, of a bird. Every year here for a number of years now in our front yard, we have a bird making a nest in our patio. It is so annoying. Because every year they lay their eggs, and then we're not allowed to go in our front yard without being yelled at by the bird for being close to her babies. Our cat and our dog just hate this time of year. It's starting about now. But once in a while, a little bird will drop out of the nest. And it's a sad thing, especially when you got a cat around, you know. It's a sad thing. It's difficult. But it happens. What Jesus is saying here is God even knows about that bird. That bird that fell, that bird that seems so insignificant in this world, he noticed. That's how much he cares about his creation. But he says, you are far, far more valuable. Why are you so valuable? Let's look at a few reasons and follow these reasons carefully. The first one is that God custom made you. God custom made you. This is what makes you valuable. You're not just put together on assembly line, punching out human after human. You are not prepackaged. You're a one-of-a-kind individual, and this in itself shows you your value. Psalm 139, verse 13, we're reminded, for you, God, formed me, formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. And that my soul knows very well. God, you made me. You designed me. You were putting me together in my mother's womb. Even before I was born, you were at work making this workmanship, this poema, this masterpiece. God is your designer. He's the artist. This adds value to you. If I went to a special shop, or if you went into a special shop and it was an art shop and they had all these paintings on display and for sale, and you came across this one painting, it was a Picasso, if you like Picassos, and then the next painting was a Rembrandt, and all these amazing paintings, and then the next painting you looked at was one made by Ken Young. Which one would you expect to pay the most for, a Rembrandt, Picasso, or a Ken Young? Well, it's probably not going to be mine, is it? No. What's the difference? They're not equal value. Whoever creates something is the one that adds to that value. The very fact that this was painted by someone called Rembrandt, who is well known, adds value to that particular painting. And even though mine is the same size and I use the same kinds of paints, it's not going to be as valuable. So the fact that you're created, not by anybody, but by the Creator, the King of this universe, that adds value to you. And that, by the way, adds value to each person as well. People in our world, people in your community, even the people that you may not prefer, the people that may not agree with you on everything, they are also made by the same Creator, God, and designer. And that in itself gives them intrinsic value. They are valuable to our Creator God. And so that should affect how we, you know, treat them as well. Because God designed them. They bear the mark of that same creator, that same artist that made us. So the fact that we are custom made by God adds value. But the second thing that adds value to you, that shows your value, is that Jesus died for you. He died for you. 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus died for you. His precious blood was shed on your behalf, in your place, in your stead. This is how much you are worth to God. How much is something worth? How much is your house at home worth? A lot of houses go to auction. Why? Because they want to see what people are willing to pay for it. That often determines the value of something. What is someone willing to pay for that? Many years ago, by the way, cars are not usually good examples of things going up in value. But many years ago, early 2000s, I bought a Volkswagen, a Beetle. I bought it from somebody here in the church, I believe. Wasn't it yours, Angela? Your Volkswagen? That blue bug? I love that blue bug. I had it for a few years. I don't remember the exact price. It was something like $1,500 or $1,600, I believe, I paid for it. And I drove it for a few years, and I decided I needed something else, so I sold that bug. And I must have sold it for about $3,000. So I almost doubled my money on an old Volkswagen. You know how much that same car is worth today? I don't know exactly, but it's somewhere between $10,000 to $20,000, I believe, if it's good running condition. $10,000 to $20,000. But what is it worth at the end of the day? What somebody's willing to pay. You could ask $100,000 for it, but probably nobody's going to buy it. But it's worth what people are willing to pay for something. How much are you worth? To get an example of that, we can look at the cross. And we see what God was willing to pay for you, for your salvation, for your forgiveness, to pay for your sins so that you can have a relationship with God, a relationship with Him again. We look at the cross and we see what He was willing to pay for you. My friend, that shows immense value. You have immense value. Not only because God designed you, God made you, the Creator made you, but Jesus died for you, and that shows value. And thirdly, the thing that illustrates our value and your kids' value is that the Spirit of God lives in you. You have the Holy Spirit of God in you. As a born-again child of God, you have the Spirit of God. A while back, a month or two ago, we've been going through the theology series, the systematic theology series, and we were looking at the Holy Spirit, and I emphasized to you, if you're a child of God, you have the indwelling Spirit of God. He lives within you. And we also compared that to the filling of the Holy Spirit. And they're different things. The filling of the Holy Spirit refers to who is leading and controlling your life. Are you yielding to the Holy Spirit that is in you? So as a Christian, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. He lives in you. The Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? Your body, it's the house where the Spirit of God chooses to live day and night, permanently, for all of your life. From the moment that you are born again, from the moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God lives in you, your body. And by the way, this should remind us of the importance of taking care of ourselves, watching what we do and where we go, Because we have someone that lives within us. We have a tenant in us. And that is the Holy Spirit of God. Let's say you have a home. And you find a home that's for sale. This home is in a nice, ritzy place. Well, let's say, for this argument's sake, in California, there's a neighborhood called Beverly Hills. Have you heard of Beverly Hills? Okay. Have you heard of Bel Air? Okay, these are close together. These are some very ritzy, rich neighborhoods where only the wealthiest, finest, and famous people, the glamorous people, that's where they live. So let's say you have this home find this home for sale in Beverly Hills. You know what also adds value to that home? It's who lived there before. Let's say you find a home and you're informed, well, this is the home where Tom Cruise has lived. This used to be his home. Or this is the home where Harrison Ford lived. Or this home was where Marilyn Monroe lived. Again, that adds to the price. That adds to the importance of this particular home. You find a home and this is where Ken Young used to live. And okay, well, what's the bottom line? Not the same. But you have a big special name. This is where they lived. Oh, really? I'd like to live there too. Who lives in you? The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. This gives you particular unique value as well. So here we have our value demonstrated by the Trinity himself. Because God the Father is your designer. He's the Picasso, the Rembrandt that made you, and that poema. We have the Son of God who showed how much he was willing to pay for you. And you are indwelt by the Spirit of God as well. My friends, this shows your value. God values you. That's how valuable your child is to God. And we need to help them not only see their uniqueness, but affirm their value. Why? Because they are valuable to our Father, our God in heaven. He made them. He died for them. The Spirit lives in them, those who are born again. But that shows the value, how God sees the value of each person. So in closing, let's close with this. I'm going to ask, how can we therefore affirm this value to our kids? And there's just a few kind of practical things that we can work better at. Let's take a look real quickly. First of all, give attention. Give attention to them. The way you look at your kids, the way you look at them, that affirms them, or it shows them that they're not very valuable in your eyes. How you give them attention. Because we don't pay attention to things that we don't value. Jesus said in Matthew 10:30, but the very hairs on your head are all numbered. You got up this morning, you fixed your hair in the mirror. Any of you know how many hairs are on your head, your own head? Much less the hairs of somebody else? Of course not. You might could count the hairs that you left in your sink when you're finished. But you don't know. But God knows the very... This is how much he pays attention to you. This is how much he pays attention to you. I remember at times when some of my kids were younger, I might be at home and I'm focused on something else. Maybe I'm reading the newspaper. And one of my little ones was coming up and talking, Dad, and trying to tell me something. And I'm just saying, yes, okay, reading my paper. But there was the odd time where it was kind of funny, it was cute, it was humorous, when they would actually pull the paper down and grab me by the cheeks and want to look into my face, look into my eyes, and then ask me a question. Why did they do that? Because they wanted to know that Dad was paying attention to whatever they had to say at the time. They wanted to know that they had my full and complete attention. Give attention. We need to pay attention. Attention is a gift that you can give to somebody. I can give you money, but I can always go out and get more money. But when I give you attention, I'm giving you some of myself and a part of my time that I can't get back. I am giving up my time for you. So pay attention. But the second thing we can do to show, to affirm our kids' value, is to show physical affection. Physical affection. God implies this with us, like in Hosea 11:4, I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. This is God's words to us and how he views his people. And it was personified in the person of Jesus himself and how he interacted with people, how he interacted with young children. He affirmed them, even with physical affection, physical tenderness. You need touch. We all need touch. We need that physical human interaction. We need physical human touch in our lives, and without it, we're missing something. And with a child growing up without that physical human touch, they're missing out something as well in their life and their development. And that is something that they need. We've seen studies of babies, and if for some reason they don't get the physical touch that they need, it can stunt their own development. You need touch. Your kids need touch. Don't leave that out. But the third thing is verbal appreciation. Tell people how valuable they are. God does this to us. Isaiah 43:4, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, he's talking to his people, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Now the wording here is talking about what he's willing to do to ransom you and to bring you back to himself. But he's saying, I loved you. You are honored. You are precious to me. Are you telling your kids that they're precious to you? Precious in your sight. Start that. Appreciation. And verbally telling someone that they are appreciated. What does appreciate mean? It means to raise value, doesn't it? Because you have something and it depreciates. That means it lowers in value. You drive a brand new car off the lot. Does it appreciate or depreciate? It depreciates. You lose value. It's not as valuable as it was when you bought it. What are you doing with your kids? Appreciation. That means you're raising their value. Depreciation means that you're decreasing their value in your eyes. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Anxiety weighs us down. And if your kids are only getting negative, hurtful, scolding, mean-hearted words from us, it's going to weigh them down, and it depreciates. And we need to be mindful to bring those words of kindness, those words of life, those words that add value, that appreciates our children and other people. One of the reasons that we do have many problems is because of the fact that so many of our homes are without daddy. So many children are being raised without a dad in their life. This is not good. God created man and woman in his image. He established the home, and both are needed for that to function as God intended it to function. Both the man and the woman and their input, and their masculine, their feminine input into the life of the child, both are essential. And while it's bad, and while we see all that, you know, that's bad for our society, there is good news. There is good news. What is important and what shows to be important in a child's life is that there are caring adults in their life that contribute to them, even if they don't have it from their mom or their dad. And you can be that person in their life that makes a big difference if you're willing to invest yourself a little bit into them. It doesn't necessarily have to be their dad. That's God's design. That's His intent. That's His expectation. As godly dads, that's our responsibility. But if there's others around us that you know of, you can have a part of that person, that young one's life, and show them not only how God made them unique, but affirm their value. You can have that part, that ministry in that child's life. We have kids all around us that need love. You need kids in your life as well. I know some of you are grumpy and older perhaps. You know who you are. I don't have to point you out, but I will if I have to. You know who you are, but you need kids in your life. You need kids in your life. And they need someone to accept and affirm them as well. Will you be that? I'd like to ask you to stand with me, please. One of the greatest things that I see this morning as I look through this is how God has affirmed to us how much we are valuable to Him. And that must be passed on from us, that same value. But He affirmed it through the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. God made you. He designed you. You are that poema that He put together. The Son, He died for you. That's the price He was willing to pay for you. That affirms your value. Then the Spirit indwelling in you personally, in your own body. And that shows your value. And so, my first question is, have you accepted personally Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you put your faith, your trust in Him? Have you confessed and repented of your sin and said, God, I need You to save me? The Bible tells us that everyone who comes to Him in faith, He doesn't turn away. And He adopts you. He brings you into His family. You are then a child of God. And the Holy Spirit indwells within you. Have you been born again? If you have not, if you can't think of that time in your life when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, do that this morning. And by simple faith, pray to Him, Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of all my past. Forgive me of my sins. Wash them away. And help me from this day forward to live my life for You as my Lord and my Savior, in Jesus' name. Pray that to the Lord. Pray that to the Lord, and He will be your Savior. And dads, whether you're a brand new dad, like some, whether you're a granddad, all your kids are grown up, or even if you don't have any children or grandchildren, but know that there are kids around you that also need your input. They need that acceptance. They need the affirmation of their worth and value too. You can be a part of that. Will you commit today to these things? Will you commit today We'll have three more principles next week that we want to look at, but today, will you commit to accepting their uniqueness, that unique poema that God made, and to affirm their value as you interact, as you raise them? Will you commit to that today? If so, pray in your heart and pray along with me. Father, with those that you have placed in my life, be they my own children, my grandchildren, or others around me that you've allowed me to have a part of, help me to appreciate their uniqueness and how you made them to be, but also to affirm to them their value, because they were made by the Father, that Jesus Christ paid on the cross for them, and the Holy Spirit lives within them. Help me to show this to those that you've put in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to ask you all, except fathers, to go ahead and be seated, would you? Fathers, you may remain standing. Dads, granddads, even fathers-to-be, if your wife is expecting, I don't know, but you know. And I'd like to ask with the men, these fathers that are standing, granddads and everybody, please come up to the front. We want to pray a special blessing over you and do something special for you. Would you please come? Come on forward. Step up here toward the front. You can also step on the steps here. We'll get a group photo or something. Come on up. Let's squeeze in. Squeeze in tight. Make sure there's room for everybody. Come on up, Brother Logan. Brother John. Have you guys seen a more handsome group of men? Don't say yes. Say, no way. Oh. Okay. Well, we do honor our dads, and we know that it's not something that we can just do with our own abilities and our own strength and power and might. We need God, and we acknowledge that. On our own strength, we are unable. We are unable. But with God's strength, we can do it. We can do all things through Him. I've gone ahead this morning, and I've asked Jen if she would like to come and grab a mic and say a prayer of blessing upon the dads here and ask God's leadership and guidance for us. So, Jen, would you like to come, please, and pray that blessing upon us? Thank you, Miss Gina, and ladies. Okay. Is it on? Try this one. Hello. Come on, Harry.
Testing. Here it is. Here it is.
There we go.
Okay. We love our husbands, we love our fathers, and we're so thankful that we have godly men in our lives. And so we stand together as women to confirm our fathers and our husbands and say, you are a good father, and we're thankful for you in the image of Christ and leading our families and our communities. We're so thankful. So let's pray. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up before you these men. Father, we're so thankful that they are a light in our families and in our church and in our community. Lord, we're so grateful as women that we were able to, that they were father to our children. And Lord, that they guide our homes and they seek you. And so, Father, please bless the men that are here today. Those that were missing, Father, we pray that you'll be with them as well. And Lord, that you will strengthen our communities through these men, Father, that we will be a light and shining. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. we would like to give you guys some gifts. So, yeah. Chandra, would you like to help too? Some of the ladies can come up here. These go to the pastors, Josh and Mike and Ken. Yeah, these ones. Yeah. Now you guys have a set. The mothers had. We love IBC moms and we love IBC dads as well. Yes.
Want to see what's in the bag? Oh, it's a matching cup. Thank you so much. Ladies, we do appreciate that. I know Jen has her one at home, and now I have a dad cup, so appreciate that. Do I get a matching coaster with it or no coaster? Ann? Are they in the bag? I didn't check. I'm just giving you a... He got a car? Okay. All right. Thank you, fellas, and thank you, ladies, for presenting that to us. Let's give them a big hand, and you may return to your seats. God bless you. We love you. Amen. Pastor Mike, over to you.
Wait a minute. Oh, yeah, it's on. So for our announcements this morning, if you have your bulletins on the inside pages, none of these are new announcements, just some things we want to remind you of. Of course, we have the Transformed Study coming up soon. And if you're not a part of a life group, then we'd like for you to be a part of a life group. The life group studies through the midweek and the messages through the weeks that these studies will be taking place will coincide one with another. And then also next Sunday, we have a baptismal service coming up right after the morning worship service. If you've never been baptized and you would like to be, or you're considering that, then see Pastor Ken. Perhaps this would also be a time for you to go through the waters of baptism. On Sunday, the 25th of September, we have our 38th church anniversary. So we'll be having special Sunday with celebration things happening for that day. Married couples retreat in November, the 3rd through the 5th of November. We have a sign-up sheet in the back, so if you're interested in coming along with us to the Married Couples Retreat, we'd like for you to sign up so that way we can have the numbers set into the venue. Also, on the Israel trip I mentioned last week, we're going to wait and reschedule the Israel trip till 2024, and that'll give more of you time to plan ahead and make the commitment to that. So the Israel trip's coming up in 2024 rather than 2023. So I think that's all of the announcements this morning, except to continue to pray for our missionaries, Erwin and Amy Santoso. Continue to pray for them, as well as all of our missionaries who have that we support. Maybe you're celebrating a birthday or a wedding anniversary. We want to celebrate with you. Anyone with a birthday this coming week or wedding anniversary? Anyone with birthday or anniversary? Come on up, Chu. Anyone else with a birthday for the week? Wedding anniversaries? No one else? Let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Birthday. Then Pastor Ken will come in and dismiss us. Happy birthday.
Let's be dismissed in prayer and enjoy some fellowship. I think we have some Father's Day niceties in the back to enjoy, some refreshments just before you head out. So don't be in a big hurry and enjoy some time with us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us this morning, reminding us of the uniqueness as you created us and the affirmation of our value that you've shown to us. And Lord, may we conscientiously pass on this affirmation to the children in our lives that you've given to us, our sons and daughters or grandchildren, or even those in our life that you've brought into our life that maybe need these words of affirmation, and to point them to their Creator, the one who loved them and died for them. Help us, Lord, to be the men, the fathers that you created us to be, by your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. You're dismissed.